Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Opening weekend of the Major League Baseball season, opening day of the month of April, our second hour, live right here on a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty of reactions from this first weekend in MLB. Opening day was Thursday, a full weekend to break down and recap for you here in this second hour. We'll have our coach, James Young, join us as well here in this second hour to look back on the weekend that we saw in the men's and women's NCAA tournament. One more day in the Elite Eight in the women's big dance, and what a day it is going to be, and an early look at Final Four Saturday night in Phoenix, Arizona. It's UConn versus Alabama on one side. It's Purdue taking on NC State on the magical March run on the other. Our second hour, a good hour, live right here on the early line.
Ooh, talking to Major League Baseball after a hot weekend of the official opening for most of us for the Major League Baseball season. It was fun to watch it play out. But you know what, Ben, we've been so excited here, and also the Sports Grid Network doing great programming here throughout the tournament, that that's been our main focus. So sometimes you say, okay, I'm looking at scores on a day-to-day basis, but I really wanted to get in and start to look at these standings, because that'll tell you what happened over opening weekend. Some surprising performances, to say the least, across the board. And maybe the most surprising we'll get into was the New York Yankees with a four-game sweep over the Astros. These are two teams coming into as the heavyweights in the American League, and it's a 4-0 sweep, road sweep for the Yankees. That's pretty impressive.
Which is insane. The Yanks in H-Town, a full recap next, but first we welcome in that Sports Grid radio audience. Here, our second hour live on a Monday on the early line. It is Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. The Yankees and the Astros entered this year the favorites to win the American League pennant. Houston, the best price, plus 360. The Yankees back at one point by only 10 cents, but after the news around Gerrit Cole moved back by nearly $1, plus 450 before the year got underway. But it was the Pinstripes going into Texas and winning all four games in the opening weekend four-game set. A four-game sweep over the Astros, and the Yankees pay it off yesterday in the finale as well to complete that sweep. A huge weekend for New York. 4-3 the victory yesterday in Juan Soto, as we'll detail in just a moment, was great in his first four games in a Pinstripes uniform.
He was, and let's just say after four games, you say, well, I'm not going to tell you who actually won those games. Let me just give you a couple players in the lineup. Gleyber Torres is going to hit 133 in this four-game series, and Aaron Judge is a 125. Like, oh, my goodness. I mean, the Yanks aren't scoring any runs. They're going to take a loss. Nope, because one guy in the middle of that lineup called Juan Soto is hitting a 529. I remember when these trades were going down, and will the Yankees get Soto? He's the perfect fit, and he hasn't even played a game yet here in Yankee Stadium, which is going to be perfect for that short right field porch that you're going to be able to line up against. But also, you can't trade young pitchers like Michael King, a generational talent in New York that's waiting to explode. That's Juan Soto. Fantastic start to his Yankees career, and already a fan favorite, taking down those hated Astros over four games where he was a centerpiece. And also, how about this? Hader was a monster move for the Astros coming over. Take a look at the ninth inning yesterday. Tie game, you figure Hader comes in just to get you to extra innings, gives up the one run here, and the Yankees get a win that way. Impressive performance in a series where we didn't know what to get out of the Yankees because there wasn't a lot of love coming out of camp because of the injuries to the pitching staff, and here they are 4-0 against the Astros.
And the Yankees booked as an underdog in a few of these four games, which is also insane and not something we will see often for the remainder of this Major League Baseball season. That one run in the ninth inning, by the way, came off the bat of Juan Soto, the go-ahead and game-winning RBI single. It compiled a game in which he had three hits. 20 times at the dish this weekend in the four-game set. He reached base safely 12 times. 9 hits, 3 walks, one of the most patient players at the plate. And when you look back on the weekend, that was RBI single in his debut in a Yankees uniform throughout what would have been the tying run in the ninth, as we detailed on Friday. 3 hits and an RBI walk in game number 2 on Friday. Game number 3, the go-ahead home run in the seventh. And you see it there, DRS. The average now is 529. We didn't see a ton of movement in terms of the AL pennant odds. Okay, that makes sense. It's 162 games, even if these were four important ones to start off the year. But Juan Soto, over a dollar taken off his American League MVP price, now plus 370.
These where you're going to get the movement at, Ben, right? You're going to have it in the first couple weeks of the season. Then you're going to have that settling in where everybody's numbers, some guys jumping up, some guys slipping a little bit. And then at the end of the Major League Baseball season, much like you're seeing in the NBA, a guy that you think is the MVP as the days go on, as long as he plays decently at the plate, if it is a guy like Soto, he's going to be able to go from minus 100 to minus 200 to minus 300 here. But it's a great start. And say, well, that's an interesting move. No, it's not. You had a big-time player for the Yankees on the road against the Astros be the centerpiece. Of course, that number is going to move, and rightfully so. And also, if you're a Major League Baseball player, the worst thing in the world is if you are a great player to get started off slow, one home run in your first 2 weeks, questioning why the Yankees traded for him here. He's not going to have to deal with that. And when you're a great player and you get off to a hot start, there's a really good chance it continues that hot start. Let's see where Juan Soto goes over the next week here and see if he can put up those identical numbers, which would be ludicrous, hitting over 500 in Major League Baseball against the other team's aces coming right out of the gate. That's great stuff.
Yeah. Now, a four-game sweep for the Yanks over the Stros, but just to say, three of the four games decided by 2 runs or less. Friday night was the only one that featured a lead for the Yankees or a win for the Yankees by more than 2 runs. The Atlanta Braves, though, to start off this year, were hammering the Phils in Philadelphia. 9-3 in the opener on Friday, 12-4 in game number 2 on Saturday night. But the Phillies do respond in game number 3. They were down entering the 7th inning. 3-run 7th for the Phils. They get their first win of the year. 5-3 yesterday, Donnie, over the Braves. 5-4, excuse me.
Yeah, sale wasn't too bad yesterday. Bryce Harper got the day off being that lefty-lefty matchup, but also looked like he almost broke his neck the day before landing into the dugout. Tough scene there, but looks like he's no worse for the wear at this point. He should be back in the starting lineup today. But the Phillies needed that win. You can't get swept by the Atlanta Braves at home. They actually have a pretty good April schedule if you're just taking a look at the teams and what we're anticipating them to be here over the next year. Because last year, some of those teams like the Cincinnati Reds are going to play. We'll see if they're as good as they showed last year at this point. But getting back to the Braves, they're good. They're good 1-9. They're good in their starting lineup, pitching staff, and they're great out of the bullpen. The Phillies couldn't afford a sweep here. So even though the Phillies lost 2 or 3 games, they won yesterday. It's like, whoo, that's a good series for the Phillies right now, which is crazy because the Phillies don't usually show up till late September anyway, and they're notorious for their slow start. We'll see if they don't do that this year.
Second half of the year after the All-Star break, that's when we'll start really worrying about the Phils. The Braves right now, a minus 360 favorite to win the National League East. Two other teams in the division went 0-for in their opening weekend. What a contentious series it was between the Brewers and the Mets. Wah, wah, Reese Hoskins, Jeff McNeil. Well, the Brewers win all three over the Amazons. The Marlins get swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. A four-game set, the Buccos take all four. The Tigers sweep the White Sox. They're going to be bad. The Dodgers win their four-game set over the Cardinals, taking 3 of those 4 games. Early look at the final four on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
5 days away from Final Four Saturday night in Phoenix, Arizona. Out to the desert we go, and the matchups are now set for the 2024 Men's NCAA Tournament. A field that started with 68 schools is now down to only four. The champions of the East region, the Connecticut Huskies, continue their chase and their title defense for a second straight national championship. Out of the West region, which we all thought was up in the air, Alabama will make their first ever appearance in a Final Four. The redemption tour on the other side for Purdue. After being upset by a 16 seed a year ago, the Boilermakers back into the Final Four for the first time in more than four decades, and the double-digit seed out of the South region, becoming the sixth number 11 seed of all time to reach the Final Four. NC State has that March momentum. Donnie, when you look at how this bracket has played out and what it means for a Final Four on a Saturday night 5 days away in Phoenix, what stands out to you?
It stands out to me that there's two point spreads, basically double digits in the Final Four, which is something that you rarely anticipate here, but it shows you how dominant those two top two seeds have been here. Yeah. Alabama, not a top seed. UConn is. They're favored by 11.5 points in this game. You take a look at Purdue. They're a top seed. NC State, not a top seed. They're favored by 9.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook entering into this game. But the one thing I do like about it here is we don't have any, I know it's a knock, right? The Virginia-type teams. Total of 161.5 and 145.5. Two really fun matchups here. Alabama UConn is a great contrast in styles. Connecticut just wants to play great basketball no matter how it comes. But Alabama, they're the ones that are going to try to push tempo and shoot a ton of three-point shots. And also the matchup, Ben, in game number two. How much, or game number one, I should say. How much fun is this going to be? Like DJ Burns, who's going to be going up against Zach Edey. Is he quick enough? Does he have the moves? Can he get him into foul trouble? Talking about Zach Edey. So two really good contrasting of styles. I think we get two good games. I don't know if it's two good games, let's just say, from a viewing experience, if you don't have any bets down on the game, but from a betting anticipation here, there's a lot to love at it, from individualized players to totals in this game, yep. And also if you like underdogs, you can get beat and get beat down in this game and might still be able to cover a spread like Alabama getting 11.5.
Listen, the storylines are going to be incredible. Those spreads are large, but NC State has laughed at spreads each and every step of the way here in this nine-game win streak. They have won seven times outright as an underdog. They were a 7.5-point dog against Duke, no matter. So four teams left to win a national championship. In Connecticut, who was greater than a $2 odds-on favorite yesterday, now slightly under $2, but still a minus in front of their price to cut down the nets for a second straight year. Minus 190 for UConn, plus 200 for Purdue. You can see the odds makers expect that to be our national championship game exactly 1 week from tonight out in the desert. Alabama, third best number at 16-1, but NC State 18-1. We'll talk about the hypothetical national championship matchup between the Huskies and the Boilermakers in just a moment. But Donnie, if you believe in March momentum, if you believe the underdogs, even at this stage of a college basketball season, can make a little bit of noise, is it worth a wager on either the Crimson Tide or the Wolfpack to win a title at 16 or 18-1?
No, I don't think it is. And it's hard to say no at this point based on what NC State has actually done here throughout the conference tournament and then into March Madness. They're always going to have a chance. They're playing great at the right time. But also you have to take a look at monumental victories. And the reason I bring this up is here, let's just go with Alabama. First time ever in the Final Four. We'll get to NC State in a second. They beat Connecticut. Connecticut was the big dog, the immovable object here. Don't you feel like human nature is? I think we already just won the national championship before we even got to play it on Monday night. So let's just say theoretically, you want to place a bet on Alabama, who could be a live dog. They take down UConn.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to have to take down Purdue as well on the way. That's an unbelievable two-game run here. So if we flip it over to NC State, right, so much fun to watch them play. But if they beat Purdue, whoo, man, nobody expected us to be here. Now we're entering into the championship game, something place we haven't seen since 1983. And then it's probably going to be Connecticut at this point. So as much as I would like to say, boy, those prices are big. These teams are playing great basketball and anything can happen. It's a neutral court. We're moving out of the arenas, right, Ben, into the football stadiums where sight lines can change. And you saw UConn being like, man, this is so much fun. Every game we're playing at home here, it's 80-20 crowd for us. Now it shifts to a 25% crowd for you out there in the desert. Yep. Will that change things up? But for my money, even though the numbers are big, Ben, I don't think I'm going to be taking the dogs to win it all at this point. Just because I don't think you're going to – what are the odds that we get Alabama playing NC State? Then, of course, again, the dogs would look great. But my goodness, two double-digit basically underdogs here in the Final Four, tough sledding.
And when you think about how the NCAA tournament generally goes, obviously there are upsets. Obviously there are magical March runs like NC State has put on display here. They're not a mid-major you've never heard of, but they were a team that was not expected to see the big dance after dropping three of their final four games in the regular season before the tremendous run in D.C. to win the ACC tournament. When you look at NC State, though, a double-digit seed, a seed line lower than five has now reached the final four in the last 11 NCAA tournaments, and this 11 seed becomes the sixth ever to see the final four of the men's NCAA tourney. But oftentimes, Donnie, outside of last year, where we didn't see a one, two, or three seed reach the final four, one seeds are one seeds for a reason. Now, when you look at the history of the expanded field since 1985, with two teams on the one line making the Final Four, that's 62 total number one seeds seeing the Final Four as compared to 63 total 2, 3, and 4 seeds ever into the Final Four. 12 of the last 16 national championship winners have been on the one line. Cream often rises to the top, and we are seeing that here with Connecticut and Purdue. Just look at what the odds makers are expecting. Does not mean we're going to see blowouts necessarily in the Final Four, despite what is double-digit spreads in both games. But let's look at where the season began to where we are now. Connecticut DRS, despite being the reigning national champions, was not one of the five best prices to win a national title this year, which looks laughable when you look at the beginning of November. Despite the huge upset for the Boilermakers, Purdue was expected to be here. Second best national championship price, tied for the best number to see the Final Four alongside Duke. Alabama had some optimism. NC State was 51st before the year got underway in the preseason to see the Final Four. From then to now, we're 5 days away from the Final Four in Phoenix.
Yeah, and it's hard to you sort of take a look at the beginning of the season. You usually know what the good teams are supposed to be, but it's just where they're going to line up at the end of the season. And so many people talk about, like, hey, well, if you bet UConn at the beginning of the season, got that nice price point, you're probably really disappointed by the draw they actually got. Like, man, I didn't expect this. Hopefully I thought it was going to be a little bit easier, and it wasn't. But you see this all the time. It's a game-by-game basis here. It's not a series. It's not three games, five games, or seven. It's a one-game playoff. Now, hear me out on this. I always love the Final Four. I think it's a fantastic spectacle. So many people in the stands, the pageantry, the buildup. Hopefully it lives up to it. But if it doesn't, which means Connecticut covers the point spread and Purdue covers the point spread. Yes, we're going to handicap it. We're going to have a lot of fun and bet a lot of props. But even if you have to suffer a little bit on Saturday night, the payoff for Monday night's game between Donovan Clingan and possibly Zach Edey, Purdue versus UConn, will be worth the wait. That'll be sensational to watch and a great cap to an NCAA season. But I got a feeling I might get some surprises here on Saturday, because that's what happens in college basketball. So let's get after it.
11.5-point spread in favor of UConn against Alabama. The over-under is 161.5. That has my attention. I'm already trying to line up a Huskies team total against a bad Alabama defense to think that UConn will keep pace. We'll look more into this game with our coach, James Young, in just a few segments. Purdue, a 9.5-point favorite against NC State in the other matchup in the men's Final Four on Saturday night. That over-under for the first game up is 145 and a hook. UConn, of course, has covered in all 10 Big Dance wins over the past 2 years. Purdue also a perfect 4-0 against the spread in 2024. Our coach, JY, joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The coach, JY, is here on the Monday morning following the Elite Eight weekend in the NCAA men's tournament to help us look back on everything, what he learned, and his insights for what it means moving forward. Now just 5 days out from a Final Four in Phoenix. JY, James Young, here with us on this Monday morning on the early line. JY, thanks for being here.
Good to be on with you, Ben. I actually got a little bit of sleep, but I got to gear up because we got one more weekend of college basketball.
Yes, we certainly do, JY. We spent a lot of time together this weekend. You were with Donnie Wrightside on Friday. We were together for both Saturday and Sunday in Elite Eight weekend. So we look back on what we saw. JY, we were live yesterday, 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern time on Sports Grid's Bracket Central for Purdue's win over Tennessee. A monumental and historic win for the Boilermakers. Purdue going back to a Final Four for the first time since 1980. And we watched in awe as Zach Edey dropped 40 on one side for the Boilers. Dalton Connect dropped 37 on the other side for the Volunteers. When all was said and done yesterday, how did Purdue punch their ticket to a Final Four for the first time in 44 years?
Very simple. They had a 7-4 monster, the most dominating force that maybe has been in college basketball. I don't know. You want to go Alcindor? You want to go more recent? Someone like Ralph Sampson? I mean, the play of Zach Edey was just absolutely fantastic. And we went through it, Ben, right? Whatever Purdue needed, whether it was a jump hook on the right hand, left-hand jump hook, I mean, foul shots, blocks, rebounds, all boards. I mean, Ben, we saw a 7-foot-4 guy shoot up and under yesterday. I mean, up and under happened, Ben. I almost fell out of my seat because I didn't know that he had it in his bag. But it took a legendary performance out of Zach Edey to offset, let's be honest, Ben, a legendary performance by Dalton Connect. Right. You and I had the 50-plus points. We looked at 60 and 70-plus. We're like, probably not. Oh, well, they got past 60. They got past 70. And if they went to overtime, they would have went past 80. So it was just a tremendous performance out of both players. But to me, if I was looking at before the shot chart, the amount of shots that Purdue got in the hole, specifically Zach Edey, was absolutely fantastic. Whereas if you look at like the Tennessee shot chart, more sporadic all around the place because they had to get Connect moving on his pull-up game. But right there, 40 points, 16 rebounds, and I think the statement-ending play was that big block that Zach Edey had on Connect, let him get by him, big block after that, game over, drive him safely.
Mm. Purdue now into the Final Four. I was talking with Ben earlier, you know, in the tournament rounds where maybe you were talking about Purdue as the nervousness would be in the round of 64 and the round of 32 because that's where they were getting knocked out. Now shaping up into the Final Four. But let me ask you a question about yesterday. These are things I love to sort of analyze moving forward. You have a team that might be the very best in NCAA action at shooting the three-point shot as a team, coach, at close to 40%. They shot half of that, 3 of 15. They shot 63% from the free throw line. They were down double digits with a couple minutes to go in the half and won that basketball game. Talk to us about moving forward, about if you're a coach like Mac Painter, you could sit them down and go, guys, we don't even bring our A game. We're beating top-level competition. Imagine if we play extremely well, like let's just say you face UConn in that final.
I think you bring up a really good point, Donnie, is the fact that as a coach, you have to find the silver lining when you don't win. Or you don't play well, I should say. And I think that's what Matt Painter's got to say to him. Listen, we did not shoot the ball well. You know, we didn't make our free throws, but we dug in and we grinded out wins. And at the end of the day, no one's going to talk about all these stats when you win. And I think the key thing that I want to talk about is their defense was their absolute. I know. And you know, obviously, Ben and I talked about it. Dalton Connect had 37. But the way that Jones defended him and made him work and face guarded him and made them really run clock, especially late in games, if I'm Matt Painter, yes, I know that we can knock down more shots. But I'm hanging my hat on is our defense was our absolute. And when we needed stops, we got them. We've locked in. So if we can continue to defend the way we've defended, we hit a couple more shots. They have as good a chance as anybody to win a national championship.
The DJs were spinning in the South Regional Final for NC State. A huge victory for the Wolfpack. They win by 12, 76-64 outright as a 7.5-point underdog against Duke in the all-ACC affair in the Elite Eight. NC State back into the Final Four for the first time in four decades since Jim Valvano was the head coach in 1983. DJ Burns Jr., 29 points, 13 of 19 from the floor. DJ Horn, 20 for the pack as well. And the magical March run has now reached 9 consecutive wins.
Purdue, 1 week from today.
And we'll take an early look at those early lines for Final Four Saturday night. That's 5 days away before that hypothetical national championship game between UConn and Purdue. But do not overlook Alabama, who knocked off Clemson 89-82. The Crimson Tide into the Final Four for the first time ever in that school's program history. And NC State continues to win outright as an underdog. Will the games be close? Will they be competitive? Can an underdog even cover the spread? We'll tell you up next. An early look at the Final Four and Elite Eight Monday in the women's tournament next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And then there were only four out of a field of 68 for a men's 2024 NCAA tournament. We are down to the final four teams still standing in the chase for a national championship. 5 days away in Phoenix, Arizona. Our coach, James Young, is here for a second consecutive segment. So, JY, let's go super big picture. Let's pull all the way back and see the bracket of 64 teams following the first four now over 2 weeks ago. When you look at the bracket and you see how it has played out, UConn, the champs of the East region, Alabama's the champs of the West, Purdue in the Midwest, and NC State, the 11 seed out of the South region. How are you going to remember what you have seen these previous 2 weeks to set up a Final Four in Phoenix on Saturday?
Well, I think, honestly, if you look at it, you got to look at the conferences and how they perform. The Big 12, that was so well regarded as the best conference in America, they didn't get a team to the Final Four. They did not look good at all in a lot of these spots. You know, look at like the Mountain West Conference that was so ballyhooed and talked about. They didn't do well. You know, you look at the Big Ten, getting, two teams to the Elite Eight. You look at the ACC with what they got. We thought the Blue Bloods, right? Carolina or Duke could make it to the Final Four. We got NC State. So, and that's the beauty, Ben, of March Madness is you don't know. You can sit there and you can try and predict. You don't know what's going to happen. You're talking about 18 to 22-year-old kids asking them to be better for 40 minutes. This isn't the NBA where it's chalk, right? You got to win 4 out of 7. The best team always wins. It doesn't happen in college, and that's the beauty of this game. You just, as a coach, have to tell your kids, it doesn't matter about seeds. It doesn't matter about records. It doesn't matter about how we play coming into the tournament. When we play this matchup, we just got to be better than the other team for 40 minutes.
If we take a look at moving this into the Final Four, because it's a question that comes up every single year. Yes, you have the entire week off now, so you're not playing basketball every other day or every third or fourth day. You're going to get off until Saturday. Yeah. Now, also, it's regionality. We're going out to Arizona. No longer in the arenas, Coach, so the eye lines change. And also, as you talked about, there's still kids at heart. That is a big moment where you stand in a football stadium with roughly 100,000 people around you. The backdrops do change. We watch Connecticut absolutely dominate on the de facto home court through the regions. Same thing here. You take a look at Purdue in their same region. A lot of home court advantages with their fan base, which now is going to get split up and divided. Even though we have big favorites here coming on this weekend, talk to us about these teams entering into that neutral court environment where now even when you warm up in practice, Coach, for their Final Four practices, the place is packed. There's cameras everywhere. It really ramps up now.
That means there's nerves. And there's going to be nerves, a lot of them, for 3 to 4 teams, which gives UConn a decided advantage, particularly, I would say, in the first half. I would be looking at first half unders, but it's a little bit different, folks, in the fact that they get – usually what will happen is if you go to the Final Four, like teams that played yesterday, they travel back to campus, they're back there today, day off today, coaches are in the office this morning, they're breaking down film, they'll get their prep ready, they'll start practicing tomorrow, right? Final Four is on Saturday, they'll probably fly in Thursday morning, they'll get a Thursday afternoon practice, Friday, maybe a shoot around Saturday. So to me, they'll get a little bit more time, but it's like, it's such a huge difference of sight lines, right? Particularly when you're looking at behind you, right? Behind the basket. You're now looking like a football field, right? Literally behind you, or a baseball field behind you. So to me, it's going to be a big difference. UConn should be more relaxed. You wonder if teams like Alabama, and we've talked about it, Ben and I, a team that shoots the three so much, do they go to the basket a little bit more early on and change what they do? Because the sight lines are going to be a major, major problem early on in that game.
So let's dive right into these final four matchups and get some early handicaps from our coach and the insight on what we will see here. 5 days for the markets to move either which way. UConn and Alabama, it's the nightcap on Saturday night in Phoenix. Connecticut in 11. An 11.5 point favorite for our second Final Four matchup. The over-under is 161.5. JY, we have seen UConn win all 10 games in the last 2 years in the NCAA tournament. They have covered in all 10. So I'm not sure Alabama is the team to knock them off from this second consecutive national championship chase. But what will be the key for the Crimson Tide if they can even cover a number on Saturday in Phoenix?
Estrada and Sears have to go off. Like they got to win the guard battle. Those two versus Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, and Castle. They have to win that matchup. And then the other thing is this: as good as Grant Nelson has been at times, he is prone to foul trouble. And I think that is going to be my major, major concern: is how do they deal with that wing ball screen action and deal with Don McClingan? You look at wing ball screen action, they are 30th percentile in the handler. That means that's Tristan Newton coming off that ball screen. Does he get busy? They're a little bit better filling the role at 67th percentile. But so to me, that wing ball screen action, how you defend that is going to be a problem, because Don McClingan forces you to change so much what you do defensively if he's able to score inside. Wing ball screen, dive the big, lift out of the corner. You have shooters everywhere. I think the defending of the wing ball screen and Don McClingan is going to be key, but also offensively, their two guards got to knock down shots.
Game number one in the Final Four this weekend is going to be NC State taking on Purdue. That line to the FanDuel Sportsbook actually also opened up at 11.5 overnight, but has been bet down to 9.5 and a total of 145.5. So on paper, it seems like an easy victory for Purdue. But we just saw NC State play a big in Kyle Filipowski, obviously not on the same level as Zach Edey, but handle him, get him into foul trouble, and Burns had a good game. How do you attack Purdue, Coach, in this game? Is it to go at Edey, or do you say you try to move around Edey? Because if you can neutralize him, which is hard to do. He dropped 40 points yesterday. How is that going to be done by NC State?
Well, it's interesting because, Donnie, they run a lot of pro-style offense at NC State, which is, I call it the Garnett catch, which is you throw it to DJ Burns about 15 feet away from the basket, allow him to back people down and have sight lines to pass. Well, they're not going to send a double team with Zach Edey. So what I think you may see out of NC State is more pick and pop action. DJ Burns has a sneaky good jump shot from about 15 feet. Maybe you go pick and pop action and let him try to attack Zach off the bounce. Now, the good thing about, really, about this matchup is, even though he's losing about, I don't know, 6-7 inches, DJ Burns could be heavier than Zach Edey. So he may be able to get into his body a little bit, try and finish with the ball away from him. But to me, that's the matchup. You got to look inside. And if you are Purdue, you are going inside of Zach Edey, because if you look at a guy like DJ Burns, he gets into foul trouble. He sometimes is lazy. That jump hook right there in the hole is the key. If they can get Zach Edey going, we'll go from there. And then lastly, NC State has done a really good job defending the three-point line. Purdue, shaky at times. Can Purdue knock down enough shots to make them pay?
Duke yesterday, just 5 of 20, as JY mentioned. Marquette on Friday night was 4 of 31. Purdue did not shoot it well yesterday, just 3 of 15, but still the number one three-point shooting team in all of the country. We've got 5 days until the Final Four on Saturday night in Phoenix. We've got two more spots in the Final Four in the NCAA Women's Tournament. And what a Monday night in the Elite Eight. I mean, on paper, as good of matchups as you could ever dream of. First up in Albany, it's the national championship game rematch, the game that was promised. It is LSU and Iowa. The Hawkeyes, the national runner-up from a season ago, behind Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Flaje Johnson, and the Bayou Bengals, the reigning national champs. It is a point and a half spread in favor of the Hawks. It is minus 134 on the money line. The over-under is 168 and a half. The national championship game rematch. What can we expect this time around, JY, with a trip to the Final Four at stake?
I mean, did they set this up for us, or did they set this up for us? They didn't even want us to wait till the Final Four. They put these two in the same region, and what a matchup will be tonight. I know everybody's going to be talking about last year with the you can't see me and all that stuff. These are two really great basketball teams with a lot of star power, when you talk about Morrow or Johnson or Angel Reese. But obviously the story is going to be Caitlin Clark. Her points prop is at 31.5 points. She will go down slugging tonight. And to me, you look at her. Ready, folks? This is like Steph Curry numbers. Her three-point prop right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook is over 5.5 made threes at plus money. Ready? I'm taking it. I think she's going to put on a legendary performance, 6+ made threes, and Iowa exacts some revenge. They take out LSU in an all-time great matchup tonight in Albany.
Fun to watch it play out, too, with a 168.5 total. We should be getting offense and fireworks. This is the game of the night, and thank goodness the country woke up and said, let's put this bad boy in at 7:15, not 10:15 like the men's would have loved to have buried LSU and Iowa here. Let's get to the second game of the night. It's UConn and USC, a favorite here for UConn, -3.5 points in a total, a contrast from the earlier game at 135.5. You take a look at the two superstars in this game, one matching up with a 26.5 points prop, the other with a 27.5 points prop. Is it just so simple, the way of the superstars? Is Paige going to outdo Juju, or vice versa in this game, Coach?
Well, it's obviously a star matchup, but I wouldn't sleep on Aaliyah Edwards, the center of UConn. 17.5 is her points prop. I think if you're at UConn, you got to be able to establish inside and outside. And you figure Aaliyah Edwards may get guarded by Juju, so you want to go at Juju a little bit. To me, I'm waiting for FanDuel to give us the 25+ for both Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins. That is what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that to drop. That being said, when we got into the NCAA tournament, I said they lined this up for UConn. And here we are. The only thing they didn't do to UConn is let them go to Albany. They sent them all the way to Portland. But I don't think it matters. Paige Beckers is playing as good as she's played since her freshman year. She's finally healthy. I know they're down to 8 healthy bodies, but I still trust Gino in this spot over Lindsey Gottlieb, who's done a great job. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Connecticut Huskies minus the points. That's going to win by about 8-10. Just watch late. Last game versus Duke, they were up, and then it came back with some fouls down the end or some made shots.
Yeah, JY and I lost by the hook on Saturday night. 8.5 point favorite for Connecticut. They won by 8 against Duke. I think I'm laying 3.5 with UConn as well. Their 30th consecutive Sweet 16 appearance, looking to get back to the Final Four. Beckers had 24 the other night against Duke in the Sweet 16. Juju Watkins, a 30-piece against Baylor in the Sweet 16 as well. 25+ would have to be a quite nice profit boost for JY to get that number on both Beckers and Juju Watkins tonight. South Carolina already into the Final Four for a second straight year as an undefeated team. They're into the Final Four for a fourth straight season under Don Staley. -220 for the Gamecocks. Quickly here, JY, with only 30 seconds left, where is the value to win a national championship in the women's tournament?
I've been saying it all year. People think I'm crazy. It's you. If they find a way, the most unlikely national championship of Gino Auriemma's career.
My man's going swimming once again. We end out this second hour. Up next,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending out this second hour live right here on a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. The NCAA tournament on the men's side has reached the Final Four. Just 4 teams left by the time we get to Saturday night on this upcoming Saturday in Phoenix. We have UConn, Purdue, Alabama, and NC State. So with just 4 teams left standing in the chase for a national title, who's going to win that championship? That was the question for you in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, who will win the 2024 men's NCAA tournament? UConn, the hefty favorite, in minus money, nearing $2, minus 190. Purdue, plus money, but also a $2 price at 2-1. Then Alabama, 16-1. NC State, 18-1. Most of the public, it should not really be a surprise, going with the most dominant team we have seen in these past two seasons. UConn has about 64% of the vote in this Fade the Public poll.
There you go. Perfect, right? Field of 64, 64% goes to UConn at a minus 190 price to cut down the Nets. It makes a lot of sense. And that, quite frankly, is where I actually bet as well. Purdue is probably going to be in the final. That's probably the best matchup you can offer to try to knock off UConn at this point, because what hasn't been working is, hey, Illinois is going to be really successful on offense. Alabama is going to be really successful on offense. So if they beat both of those, you better go with a team that can match up against Klingon down low, and that would be Purdue. It is interesting to see where Alabama getting absolutely no love. Why? Because they got to line up directly against UConn before they can even get to the national championship game, and NC State certainly had a fun story at 18-1. But it was UConn for me all the way through, Ben.
I voted for Purdue for what it is worth. I think the Boilermakers, who I've had a 9-1 ticket are the team that can keep it closest with UConn. But I'm not saying Purdue's winning that game outright for sure, or Purdue is going to hammer Connecticut by any estimation. We'll look at those national championship odds on the other side of the break when hour three of the early line starts in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.